This is the Falcoholic Podcast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Falcons on the SB Nation Podcast Network. I'm Dave Walker. I'm joined by my partner in crime, Evan Birchfield, and we're here to recap the Falcons' first win of the 2021 NFL season, going on the road to New York to take out the Giants in frustrating fashion. We'll talk about that here in a second. But Evan, first, how are you doing, man?
I am great, DW. It's been 301 days, but we finally saw the Falcons win a football game. Long time coming, and it finally arrived.
Yeah, you're not kidding. The 301 days is just such a stunning statistic to me. Yeah. Going back to, I think, November of last year.
29th, yeah.
Yeah, just absolutely incredible. But yes, the Falcons did win 17-14. They went on the road, beat the Giants, who dropped to 0-3. The Falcons changed their record to 1-2 at this point. This was, in my mind, Evan, one of those wins where it counts as a win, but it was incredibly frustrating to get there. However, I think if we take a step back, I think we can see some good things from both sides of the ball. Both the defense and the offense, even though it's not what we want to see necessarily from like some key guys. But what are some of your takeaways, your initial thoughts on how this game played out?
I mean, it was ugly. If the Falcons didn't win, like everyone would be coming out them right now. And I think they might have bought themselves a little time. Maybe some of the more pessimistic fans will be attacking them still, and, you know, rightfully so. The standouts, Cordarrelle Patterson continues to be an X factor in this offense. If you haven't been fantasy football, I'd be playing him. I mean, just receiving alone, he's worth it. But then what he can do, you know, doubling as the running back makes him that much more valuable. Mm-hmm. I mean, outside of that, Russell Gage not playing in the game. We got to see some more Zaccheaus. Some of the tight ends like Lee Smith was more involved than he used to be. And Kyle Pitts, I almost forgot, is on the roster. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, if you hide the score, you know, it kind of looks like similar stats to when they lose. So it's whatever. But Matt Ryan had a good day overall. And that's my big takeaway. Matt Ryan had a good day.
I felt like he struggled at times, but especially in the fourth quarter, I think he finally got it going. Mm-hmm. And the thing I want to point out is like the offensive line, I think, had their best game of the year, which is a low bar. Like they were bad in the first two games. But actually, Jalen Mayfield, I thought, had a solid game. And I want to see what the PFF scores say about him. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he was actually making some plays out in space in the running game. And he's a player I'm very interested to see how his growth and development goes, because if this trend continues, he got better from week one to week two. It looks like right now he got better from week two to week three. It does make me wonder if they're going to yank him from left guard, or if they're going to leave him in there when Josh Andrews gets healthy. So definitely.
I mean, at this point, I would leave him. Unless something, unless we get a repeat of the Eagles game. I mean, let him continue to grow. Because as you said, the offensive line definitely looked better than the first two games, which is easy, you know, should be very easy to do considering they were, you know, at least the first one was like a complete train wreck. So I would let him and just continue to grow. But you know that if for some reason, you know, Matt Ryan's being sacked like crazy because Mayfield's getting beat left and right, then you have Josh Andrews in a pinch, which I don't know how that's going to be any better, but maybe it'll be a change of pace. So
exactly. Right. And to be fair, Ryan was sacked 3 times for 16 yards in this game, but I don't feel like that was all on the offensive line. On a couple of those sacks, it looked like number one coverage was just had
it was
blanketed. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of it was he was stepped up in the pocket looking for someone to be open. And eventually there's going to be a sack on every play if the quarterback holds on the ball too long. That's just how football works. So those were those kind of sacks, in my opinion.
Yeah, it wasn't like what we've seen where the pocket just got completely blown up and Ryan had no time.
Right, like where he hikes the ball and gets sacked instantly.
Yeah, thank God we didn't see any of that.
Yeah.
At least that I can remember. All right, give us some of the key stats from the Falcons offense in this game.
Yeah, so Ryan finished with a solid 27 completions for 243 yards and two touchdowns, pass rating of 111.2. On the ground, Mike Davis led him with 12 carries, 50 yards. That's an average of 4.2 yards per carry. And Cordero Patterson had 7 carries for 20 yards. In the receiving game, Cordero Patterson technically led the offense. He had 6 receptions for 82 yards. Calvin Ridley was a big factor. He had 11 targets, most on the team, but he had eight receptions for 61 yards, no touchdown. Alamide Zaccheaus kind of stepping in for Russell Gage. If you read my fantasy article, I predicted 6 catches for 60 yards, but he did even better, 3 receptions for 32 yards and a touchdown. And Lee Smith also 3 receptions for 7 yards and a touchdown. The Falcons tight end one, you heard it here first. And then the Falcons backup tight end Kyle Pitts had 2 receptions for 35 yards.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts is going to be the talk of the Falcons fans for a while, and how, like, for most of the game he's invisible, and then all of a sudden he makes a play. The thing that stands out to me with Kyle Pitts, and this should be like, this is only going to add fuel to the fire, every time he touches the ball it seems like he gains over 20 yards. Like,
right.
he is incredibly explosive. Like, why are we not giving him the ball more? One of his 2 catches was for 25 freaking yards. Like, this kid is, he clearly has the physical talent.
A unicorn, DW. Like, I think that's what's funniest is all offseason people were calling him a unicorn. A unicorn you literally never see. That's why they're, yep, a unicorn. Like he's a rare talent, but a unicorn you never see. Like, and that's what's happening. He's literally being a unicorn for the Falcons.
Yeah, that's not what we want. Like, let's downgrade him from unicorn to like zebra. At least you can see a zebra.
Okay.
They're kind of special.
Maybe leprechaun or something. No. Like, there's more of them.
Oh, man. So Pitts, again, didn't get involved until late in the game, but when he did, he's an explosive player. And the fans who are questioning what Arthur Smith is doing, I think, are absolutely right. Hayden Hurst had 1 target. And the one thing we thought about Arthur Smith was that, oh, he's going to come in here and run a lot of the 2 tight end sets. We're going to see the tight ends involved a lot. And so far, that has not come to fruition. Hayden Hurst has been virtually invisible for this entire season so far. Pitts, you know, a little bit less so, but really sort of frustrating from that standpoint. Hopefully this changes as these guys get more used to whatever it is Arthur Smith wants to do on offense. But right now, the early returns on Arthur Smith's play calling, especially where the tight ends are concerned, is really, I think, just concerning, problematic, something that they need to improve on.
I think a lot of people, and I'm being one of them, coming into the season, it seemed like Kyle Pitts would be what the offense revolved around, and it's definitely not. He's right. More like, like a weapon that's just waiting in the wings, I guess. It seems like if you watch this, you know, the first 3 games, it seems like the offense is revolving around Cordero Patterson more than anybody.
Right.
He's involved all over the place. There's literally plays on that 2-minute drive to win the game. Patterson had a wide receiver screen that ended up going for a good chunk of yards, getting them, you know, down into field goal range. He's having the offense kind of revolve around him. And it's, you know, I know a lot of us predicted he would be like an X factor in this offense, but he's really been like a main focus of this offense, even more so than Ridley at times. Ridley's definitely their top receiving option in terms of, you know, being a pure wide receiver, but Patterson's finished with more receiving yards today and he had less receptions. So.
Right. And on Ridley, a sort of an erratic day from him. He had an early drop that honestly should have been caught. Some will say it was a good play by the corner, but really that's one of those plays a top wide receiver should come down with. The ball was in perfect spot and he should have caught it. And then later he caught a pass and had the, you know, option to sort of try to run for the first down, but went sideways instead. Almost looked like he was avoiding contact. Just sort of a bad day, I think, for Ridley. Even though his stats were decent, some individual plays really made, like, fans were openly questioning whether we should have kept Julio Jones. And I get it. You know, Julio folks wanted out, just to remind you. We were not keeping him. It was not going to happen one way or the other. Julio wanted to be traded. The team, they did what he wanted. And Calvin's the guy, but it's fair to criticize him. And it's fair to criticize any of these players when they make poor plays. And early on, I felt like the receivers, Ridley and Zacchaeus, they both had some missed catches. Now, Zacchaeus made up for it later, caught mm-hmm. one that, and where he was absolutely just crushed and held on to the ball. So sort of an up and down day for several guys, except for Patterson, who was just excellent throughout the entirety of the game.
Before we move on from the offense, just a shout out to Mike Davis, who has been kind of criticized, I think, a little unfairly over the last couple weeks, because mm-hmm. Week one wasn't great by any means, but he's been a solid running back for the Falcons. He's not getting like 20 carries a game. But for the second straight week, he averaged 4.2 yards per carry, which is very solid. Coming into this game, I don't know how Kamara did in the Saints game, but coming into the game, he was averaging more yards than Kamara on the season. And Mike Davis being utilized also as a receiving option. He had four targets and he caught all four passes for 20 yards. I like what I've seen. Obviously, Patterson's eaten into his carries because he had seven as opposed to Davis having 12. But from what I've seen from Mike Davis, like, he's running hard. He's getting, you know, yardage that they need. So shout out to him.
Yeah, great point. And I'm guilty as well of sort of highlighting Patterson as a running back. But as you and I were saying before we started the podcast, it's almost like the perfect role for Patterson is to line up as running back, but to catch the ball. Because Patterson is a pure runner. He's you know, today he averaged less than 3 yards per carry. But as a receiver, you know, as you mentioned, six receptions for 82 yards. And I think that's where his game, the Falcons are using him the best when they have him out there as more of a receiver, almost like a check down receiver, as opposed to just a traditional running back out of the backfield. So, yeah, I'm with you. Mike Davis, I think, is giving us about what we wanted from him as a running back one, which is over 4 yards per carry. And that's an improvement. You know, that's the other thing I think if you want to take away from this offense, not only has the offensive line improved from week to week, I feel like the running game is not a laughing stock now. It's not fantastic, but it's a respectable running game. And as one of my friends on Twitter pointed out, in the last 2 minutes of this game, they leaned on the running game to help run down the clock, and it worked. And we, as Falcons fans, it may be one of the first times in a long time where we didn't sit there and question the play calling to end the game. And they were able to run effectively at key moments, especially again at the end of the game where they needed to burn out the clock and run it out so that the Giants wouldn't have another opportunity. And they did that, and they were effective. So Those little things, those little takeaways, the little signs of progress right now for Falcons fans, I think that's what we have to cling to. This is not, I think, a good team still. The Giants are much worse than us.
Yeah, and we haven't even got to it, but they literally had like
multiple
some of their
guys
start
out.
Yeah, especially in the receiving corps. So
yeah,
they were down some players.
Absolutely. And that has to be emphasized. But at the same, and on the flip side, the Giants were playing at home. They were playing on 10 days of rest. So that they had some advantages as well coming in. So I don't want to overstate, but at the same time, you know, the Falcons were facing an opponent with some injuries, you know, during the game. And that probably did factor in a little bit, but I want to talk about the defense and what they did, because I feel like they're, you know, they've been getting hammered a bit this season. Most points in the first 2 weeks of any other team, but today was a nice bounce back. And again, it's the Giants. So keep that in mind. But before we get into that conversation, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back on the Falcoholic Podcast. This is Dave Walker. I'm joined by Evan Birchfield. We're talking about the Falcons' win on the road against the New York Giants, week three of the 2021 NFL season. Falcons win 17-14. Giants dropped to 0-3. The Falcons changed their record to 1-2. And Evan, the defense. This is, even though they've given up a lot of points in the first two games, and in this game clearly gave up only 14, I actually feel like of the three units, they have been playing better overall than even the offense. And in this game in particular, I felt like they had a relatively strong afternoon, with the caveat, as you mentioned in the first half of the podcast, that the Giants, I think, lost one or two of their receivers to injuries during the game. So tell us what the Giants did on offense, and who were some of the guys that they lost, because I think it was early on. It was even in the first quarter, I believe.
Sterling Shepard, who, if you play fantasy football, has been like a steal, left the game early. And also Darius Slayton, I think it was a hamstring. Mm-hmm. He's one of their other receivers. So pretty much it was down to Kenny Golladay and Colin Johnson, who led the day for him with 5 receptions, 51 yards. Golladay had 4 receptions, 64 yards. Coming into this game, again, I don't want to go back to fantasy football, but Daniel Jones was a hot one this week if you needed a quarterback streamer because of the matchup with the Falcons, who have struggled mightily against quarterbacks this year. Mm-hmm. And they did a good job. I mean, there was that one part where Daniel Jones kind of ran over Grady Jarrett, which was bizarre, but it was on a 2-point conversion. I never seen something like
that. Bizarre.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think we'll see that ever again, but who knows? But overall, I mean, the Falcons defense held their own. Even the Giants missing some people, they still had Saquon Barkley. They still had Kenny Golladay, the Giants. And Isaiah Oliver stripped, I believe it was tight end Evan Engram, who had his first game of the season because he's been injured for him, but got a fumble recovery off that. And Dante Fowler got a strip, but I believe Daniel Jones jumped back onto it. So technically not a fumble. But overall, yeah, I mean, I think if we're looking at PFF grades, I'll be shocked if Aluakun isn't either in that in that top 5 for the Falcons defense. I thought he had a really solid day. Just watching him, they had certain angles on the broadcast of him in coverage, and then him when they were running the ball, and he was making good reads and getting outside. And yeah, overall, I mean, a good day. I thought Marlon Davidson looked good, and then he ended up leaving. I'm not sure exactly what he left with, but he was out for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And TJ Green stepping in at a pinch. He was serviceable, but at times they were clearly targeting him,
absolutely.
and getting away with it. Like, it was, pretty obvious. Every throw was pretty much TJ Green's way. But yeah, aside from that, I mean, it was a pretty solid day by the Falcons. I think Isaiah Oliver continues to kind of show up big for the Falcons, considering a lot of fans wrote him off, and I'm one of them. Like, a lot of fans expected him to kind of be one of those guys who might be gone in a new regime, and he's been turning a corner. Like, he's looked good. So
yeah, moving into the slot, I think, has been a revitalization for his career. And on the day, Isaiah Oliver, he had one quarterback hit, he had 2 pass deflections, 1 forced fumble, and he recovered that same fumble. So just an overall really strong game from Oliver. Really impressed with how he has progressed. And, Torrey McElhaney at AtlantaFalcons.com actually spoke with him this week. And I think she referenced Matt Chambers from The Falcoholic tweeting that he needed to apologize for 3 years of bad tweets at Isaiah Oliver. Although, to be fair, there were a lot of people who were sort of slamming Oliver. But yeah, to me, he was one of the standouts in this game defensively. Dante Fowler now with 2 sacks on the season, 1 last week, 1 again this week. I feel like he has actually looked much better the past 2 games. He was invisible against the Eagles, but has been a little bit more of a force in these past 2 games. And Foyaluakun and Deion Jones both had 14 and 13 tackles combined, both had a tackle for loss. These guys, I think, finally in this game, came alive. The past 2 games, I feel like they've been sort of hit or miss from a defensive standpoint. And as you mentioned, TJ Green was targeted a lot. I think the fact that, to me, if you go back and you look at the receivers for the Giants, Golladay, 64 yards. And again, they were missing some of their guys, but of course we were missing our top corner in AJ Terrell. They didn't have a 100-yard receiver. So in my mind, that's a little bit of a win for the Falcons. Not that I want TJ Green to be starting on a consistent basis, but in pinch hit duty, he was okay. And Fabian Moreau, I thought, did a mostly good job. He missed a couple of tackles in a really terrible sequence in the middle of the game, but and was called for a defensive pass interference, which in my mind was actually just a garbage call because he was clearly going for the ball in the same way that the receiver was in the end zone. Otherwise, I felt like he also had a strong game. So in total, I look at this Falcons defense and what they did today, and they're not a good defense, but I do feel like they're serviceable. They could be a defense that is ranked ultimately somewhere in the 15 to 20 range. Again, that's where they finished last year. I think they actually finished in DVOA stats at number 14 last year, which was stunning to me. This year, if they can finish between 15 and 20 in total defensive ranking, I would be actually very impressed. Now, are the Giants a great football team? No.
And, well, they haven't won a game for a reason.
Exactly. And that Giants offensive line is actually much worse than ours, Falcons fans. Believe me, you look at how these guys are graded on PFF. Their starting center has a
Billy
Price is just the play where Grady Jarrett got a sack. I want to rewatch it, but Billy Price was literally laying on the ground as Grady Jarrett ran past him. Now, Grady used a swim move on the left guard and beat him, but Billy Price was absolutely zero help because he was just taking a nap on the middle of the field in Giants Stadium. So I am impressed with how this defense is progressing. Not with where they're at. Again, they're not a good defense, but we're seeing progress in some key areas. In our Falcoholic Writers chat, I think one of our writers, I forget, it may have been Kevin, said, this defensive line looks better than I thought they would. Do you feel the same way, Evan? Do you feel like they're not as bad as we anticipated going into the season?
I mean, I guess.
I know it's a low bar. We all expect it to be terrible.
I
mean,
I guess they're better. We're seeing more out of like Dante Fowler, which has stepped up. Like I said, Marlon Davidson, I think he's playing a lot better. Grady Jarrett. Yeah, I guess to answer your question, they are playing better. But like they're still not to where you'd want them to be. I don't know that they might have like just kind of been playing at their ceiling anyways. And it's just there's only so much more they can do. There's no real, aside from Grady Jarrett, like stars on this defensive line.
Right.
They're playing better, certainly. It was not a great offensive line that they were going up against. I'd like to see it in more games where they're playing like better offensive lines, but yeah, I mean, they're serviceable. They're not going to be the reason, at least they haven't been, that the Falcons ultimately lose a game this season.
Which is different.
I don't know if that answers your question. But.
No, absolutely. And that's different from what we've seen in the past, right? Where
They were the clear. There was no pass rush at all. Even when you see it these games, you know, you're still seeing Fowler get in there.
Yeah.
I know he had a sack, but he's still like getting pressure. And a lot of the times, you know, pressure plays a bigger role than anything because you can force turnovers that way. Him getting that sack, and that was the one that I referenced earlier. Daniel Jones fumbled. Yep. I think they jumped back on it, but I mean that was almost a turnover right there.
Yeah.
I like the pressure I'm seeing, and it's certainly an upgrade over last year, I believe. But do want to see them keep taking more steps forward. I'm okay with the defensive line.
Yeah, I think, and honestly, with the way Dean Pease orchestrates this defense, the secondary was always going to be the part of the defense that was going to struggle more early on because Pease literally asks the safeties, the linebackers, and the corners to know and understand the responsibilities of every one of those positions. So because at any point in time, he could send a corner, he could send a safety or a linebacker, on the blitz and drop someone else in the coverage. And I will say, it was nice to see some of those blitzes work. I saw several instances where Daniel Jones was clearly rattled, where even though the Falcons didn't get the sack, They were in the backfield and they were disrupting him and batting passes down. We saw several opportunities where the Falcons batted passes down. We saw Eric Harris. Honestly, he probably should have come away with an interception on his one play. He had two pass deflections in this game as well. So good for him. And this was a game where, again, you got to keep the quality of the opponent in mind. And this is probably, an indication of where the Falcons are, but they took advantage of it. The defense took advantage of it. They only allowed 14 points. And that's what you want to see. When you're looking for progress, and that's the sort of the only thing, because I still don't think anyone's expecting this Falcons team to make the playoffs. I didn't going into the season, so this is not a big shock. I always felt like they were going to be around 500 or sub 500. But if you're looking for progress, I think we're seeing small signs of it. And that's what I'm going to cling to. And obviously, shout out to Younghoe Koo, who nailed the game winner at the end of this game. Evan, I know this week on Falcoholic Live, you guys had the opportunities to speak to Falcons legend Matt Bryant, but how it seems like the Falcons have had pretty good luck in moving from one kicker to another. And I know early on you and I had our doubts about Koo, but it seems like he's settled into being a very reliable kicker for the Falcons.
Yeah, and what makes kickers big is these moments like this. Me and you talked about before we started recording, when the last time a Matt Bryant 2-minute drive occurred.
Right.
I mean, there for a while, it happened all the time. It was like clockwork where Matt Ryan would get him downfield, and then Matt Bryant would make the 40-yard kick, and that's how they made their names early on. It is good to see Koo, make these kicks. It was a short one right down the middle, which was like, I would hope any kicker would make, but, I want to see more, long distance ones. But obviously I'm happy with it and I'm not going to sit here and criticize Koo for making a easier field goal, but, they've been fortunate. I mean, if you look back in history, Morton Anderson, had Jason Elam there for a minute, who was there for a while was the best kicker in the league, with the Broncos, and then obviously Matt Bryant. And then now with Younghoe Koo, I want to see him keep, growing as a kicker for the Falcons, obviously. So yeah, if they get more situations like that, where they got to make, game winning field goals that are like 40 to 50 range, obviously that's going to impress me more, but I'm happy he made, it was a chip shot field goal, and I'm happy they put that trust in him that they, started running the clock out instead of thinking, oh, we got to score here because we can't trust our kicker. They clearly trust him to make those kind of field goals. So they started running the clock out with Mike Davis, and then Matt Ryan dove into the middle to give him kind of just a straight kick. And that's how it ended.
Yeah. And that's, that really is such an important aspect of the game planning. Once the Falcons were within 45 yards, you could tell they basically put the offense into
kill clock mode.
Kill clock, yeah, because they knew they had a kicker that they feel very confident in. You and I have talked a lot about Koo and our uncomfortable disposition with his ability past 50 yards, but I think within 50 yards, he's been money. Yeah. And I want to give him a shout out in this game because clearly he punched it in to close this one out. As you said, that is really where these guys make their money. And I know other people love to hammer on kickers and say, well, that's their job. Yes, but there are other NFL teams that cannot find guys that can do this consistently. So we should the one that we've got.
Right. And talking to, I've been fortunate to be able to talk to Morton Anderson and Matt Bryant, arguably, and probably not even arguably, the two best kickers in Falcons history.
Oh, 100%.
And both of them, the main takeaways from talking to both of them is their confidence is through the roof. You have to literally be like arrogant because of that position, and you want to be the mindset where I'm making this kick no matter what, no matter the distance, no matter the implications, whether it's in the Super Bowl with 2 seconds left to win it or it's preseason. Like, they always have to have the same calmness and confidence in kicking. And I mean, at this point, I haven't spoke to Younghoe Koo, obviously, but I imagine he's got that, because you're going to struggle as a kicker. You know, a lot of the kickers we've seen come through Atlanta, that just, not to pick on one individually, but like Giorgio Tavecchio, he didn't have that. He didn't have that like same confidence. And there's a reason he's not in the NFL anymore.
Yeah.
The kickers that, you know, it doesn't matter how good your leg is, the kickers that are long-term successful, Justin Tucker, shout out to him, made NFL history today with a 66-yard field goal.
Amazing.
He has that. He's going to be a pro, not a Pro Bowler. He obviously is. Hall of Famer, yes. And he's got that killer instinct, and that's what kickers have to do. I mean, it's silly because they're easy to make fun of. They're usually little guys, you know, and they screw up, and everybody talks about them all week. But these kickers have to be mentally tough. The ones that struggle are the ones that aren't, you know, confident in themselves. And I think Koo has that. I mean, you don't make a Pro Bowl being a kicker that doesn't believe in themselves.
No, not exactly. I could not have said that better. All right. We have got another game ahead of us next week as we take on the Washington football team. The Falcons will be at home for that game. Washington is a team that is in a little bit of disarray after their starting quarterback got injured. They're also sort of at the bottom of the of the NFC East. Evan, any final thoughts on this game and looking ahead to that Washington game and what you want to see from this Falcons team?
Not so much more in this game. I think we covered it pretty well. It was, you know, we won by 3. It was a close game. I'm going to give the Giants their credit. Like, they played them tough, and the Falcons just made the right plays towards the end and won. Looking forward to next week, I believe Washington will still have Tyler Heinicke as their quarterback, who I know struggled a lot today from what I saw stats wise. So he threw some picks. You know, we'll see. The Falcons played him when he was with the Carolina Panthers, and obviously Ron Rivera was there. So they're familiar with him, maybe not the coaching staff, but some of the players. Shout out to Jack Crawford, who picked off Tyler Heinicke. So, yeah, I mean, that's a winnable game. The Washington defense is tough. Another, you know, front defensive line that's tough. And the Falcons, you know, 3 out of 4 games have played tough defensive lines. So that'll be interesting, you know. Aside from that, Terry McLaurin, you know, he's probably the most underrated receiver in the NFL. So hopefully AJ Terrell is back, and Antonio Gibson, another, you know, solid running back. So yeah, we'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, it should be interesting and give us an idea of where this Falcons team really stands, because this game, even though it was a win, feels like a push.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not running around like, oh my God, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
But it's a win. So let's all just kind of enjoy it for the week.
Yes.
100%. You know, not get too crazy on, you know, what they're doing with Kyle Pitts. I mean, that's a fair criticism, because I still have no idea, and I know DW doesn't either. But, you know, it's a victory. We have, as we said at the top of the show, haven't seen one in 301 days. So enjoy it.
Enjoy it. I couldn't have said better. Yes. This is one of those games where you walk away frustrated, but at the same time, it's a win on the road against a better rested opponent. So take that for what it is. Falcons will be home for the next game. And then I believe they have is week 5. I think week 5 is their bye week. So they only have.
I think the Jets and then the bye week, right? Usually a bye week comes after. I think that's the London game, which, you know, that'll be interesting. I just wanted to add one more thing. You know, we know the score 17-14, which isn't huge against a team that had so many injuries in the Giants and weren't already, you know, weren't good to begin with. But like, I was on Twitter just now, and they've got a video of them dancing in the locker room. It's a confidence builder, you know. Overall, that's probably the biggest win of the day, is maybe next week you, you see a team that believes in themselves more. There's a lot of newbies on this team, especially in the Falcons secondary. Mike Davis in the backfield's new. Cordero Patterson's new. Kyle Pitts is new. Let them gel, get more excited. You know, that builds team chemistry.
Yeah. No, that's such a good point. Really, you know, what matters is how the season finishes. The last eight games or last nine games are going to be more important than the first. And it's a new offense, and it's a bunch of new guys, as you stated, and it may take some time for this thing to get fully going. That said, I think there's a lot of legitimate questions that fans are asking about how guys are being used, about what they're trying to execute. Why is Lee Smith have more, you know, touchdowns than Kyle Pitts and Hayden Hurst combined? Those are all very good and legitimate questions, and we're going to continue to ask them and analyze this team as we go through the season. But they got the win. They got it on the road, and they're 1-2. The season is not over. They've got another opponent coming up that should be beatable, and that will, if they can win against Washington, they'll be at 2-2 and very much in the thick of things. So no reason to write off this Falcons team yet. They are frustrating, yes, but have you been watching the Falcons for a while? This is a frustrating team. All right. On that note, that's a perfect note to end on. Evan, thanks for being here as always, my partner on Definitely. These post-game podcasts. Why don't you remind our listeners where they can find you, what you have going on?
You can find me on Twitter at Evan Birchfield. Also throughout the week, well, not throughout the week, on Wednesday to Friday, I do the Falcons injury report. So that kind of gives you an update on throughout the week who might be absent on you know, the Sunday's game. So look for that. Also on Fridays, I have a fantasy preview. If you read that, you would have known if you were super desperate, and I mean super desperate, would have started Alamide Zaccheaus, who had a solid day. So.
Yes, had I played fantasy, I would have
been literally 100% available in Yahoo Fantasy League. So I wouldn't blame you to not trust me, but yeah. So
you would have had some points today.
Would have had maybe a DFS flex or something.
Yep. All right. On that note, as for me, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW. Updates for this podcast at FalcoholicPod. And of course, our articles daily at thefalcoholic.com. So for Evan Birchfield, this is David Walker. Thank you guys for listening in. We'll talk with you next time.